From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. A new totem pole now graces the University of Alaska campus. Where did it come from? What does it mean? This is our story today on This Is Your University. Long ago, there was a fierce giant cannibal that used to prey on the people. Every spring, the giant would come down the mountain and start eating the people. All summer long, he would chase after the people, catch them, and eat them. The people tried to kill the giant. They thrust spears into him. They shot arrows into him. He just kept coming back. They even ripped open his chest where his heart was supposed to be so they could cut it out. But there wasn't any heart there. Then they went to see a great shaman. "What can we do?" they asked. "We stick spears in him. He doesn't die. We try to cut his heart out, but we can't find it. What can we do?" "This giant has his heart in his right heel," the wise shaman told them. "To kill him, you must rip it out and trip him." The people went back into the village and got ready. The next time the giant came down the mountain, they all rushed at him with spears and clubs. While they distracted the giant, the bravest man in the village snuck up behind him and hit him on the right heel with a club, knocking him out. Then the people swarmed over the giant, thrusting spears into his body. One man cut his heart out of the right heel. To make sure they were rid of the giant, the people decided to burn his body. They built a great fire and threw the body on it. Then they burned the body, and there was nothing left but ashes. Then the chief took the ashes and packed them into a ball. He threw the ball into the air and laughed. "Ha ha ha! Now let's see you try to eat us." But the ashes turned into mosquitoes. And now every spring the giant comes back in the form of mosquitoes to feed on the people. This mosquito story comes from the Tlingit Indians of southeastern Alaska. During the last half of the 19th century, a member of the Tlingit tribe carved a small totem pole to illustrate the story. The pole was intended to be a model for a larger pole, but the larger pole was never carved. In 1963, Amos Wallace, a Tlingit carver from the Juneau area, was commissioned to carve a 49-foot totem pole for the University of Alaska by the University Alumni Association. A 54-foot yellow cedar pole was donated for the project by the Alaska Lumber and Pulp Company of Sitka. For his design, Wallace used the 19th century model which depicts the mosquito story. Eight figures appear on the pole: a raven, a frog, the giant cannibal, another frog, a mosquito, still another frog, a bear, and a wolf. After the pole was completed, it was placed in storage until it could be erected to mark an archaeological site on the campus, known as the campus site. This fall, a recently formed veterans club on campus requested and received permission to erect the pole so it would be in position for the university's 50th anniversary and the Alaska Centennial celebration next year. The pole was placed in position November 18th by the Veterans Club and the Student Civil Engineering Society, assisted by university maintenance personnel and a local construction company. The pole now stands on a bluff at the edge of campus, overlooking the Tanana Valley, a reminder of a great culture that once flourished along the southeastern Alaskan coast. This Is Your University is a recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. Plans are now being completed for a winter carnival on the University of Alaska campus next February. The carnival will be sponsored by the Student Activities Department of the University of Alaska. Of the many carnival events will be skiing competitions, skating contests, a snowmobile marathon, a parade, a variety show, a fashion show, and a formal ball. Today we will discuss some of the plans of the winter carnival on This Is Your University. We have with us today in the studio two coordinators of the annual Winter Carnival, Jim McMillan and Harvey Lyons, both U of A students. Well, fellas, this is surely a good day to be talking about a Winter Carnival, what with it being 43 below outside. Jim, could you tell us just what is the Winter Carnival?
Well, the Winter Carnival is an annual event that's sponsored here at the University of Alaska. This will be the second annual Winter Carnival. Like you said, it's sponsored by the Student Activities Department. It's a highlight activity of the winter here at the university to kind of bring out the spirit that is deadened by the winter here, like even today. And the Winter Carnival is a culmination of winter sports, activities that we have by the different organizations that they put on, plus a few, we've got, like you said, the fashion show, we've got the art show. It's a combination of winter events, winter sports, plus indoor events and indoor sports.
Well, I understand there's many activities going to be going on during the carnival. Harvey, could you tell us what some of those activities are?
Yes. We have the Ski-Mobile Marathon, which will be held. We have a cross-country ski race and a downhill ski race. There will be a swimming exhibition and a ice show, which will have ice skating races and plus figure skating. I think one of the top or one of the greatest of these which will be held will be the Ski-Mobile. We will know that in Alaska we have these Ski-Mobiles which a lot of people like to use during the winter, which is a great sport. I think that we will have people coming from probably all over the state which will be entered in this Ski-Mobile race.
Oh, well, not too many U of A students have these ski-mobiles or snowmobiles, like you say, but do you mean that these winter carnival activities are open to people throughout the state as well as the U of A students?
Yes, it is open to the public as well as the university students.
Hmm. Well, are there admission charges for each of these activities? Admission for each one of the activities, or do you have one ticket which will cover all of them?
There is a Winter Carnival button which will be purchased by anyone who is participating in the Winter Carnival, which will cost a total of $2.
Well, mentioned at the beginning, the culmination of this whole Winter Carnival will be a big dance. Could you tell us a little bit about this ball or dance that's coming off, Jim?
The dance will be held on the last day of the Winter Carnival, which will be Saturday, February the 11th, and the music will be provided by the 9th Army Band, which you hear on KUAC. So they have donated their services for the band, and it'll be a snowball dance. And like you say, this will end the whole Winter Carnival.
Well, also, there's going to be some special entertainment on the campus. Somebody who will be brought up from outside who will be entertaining. Do you know who that person is yet?
We don't want to let the cat out of the bag. To be truthful, we aren't really positive who is going to be up here yet. It will be professional top name entertainment, but I think we'll save that as a surprise. Also, Paul, I'd like to mention that the name of the carnival, the Golden Winter Carnival, is kind of unique in itself. We arrived at this name because it's being held in 67, Alaska 67, the golden anniversary. And I think this is kind of unique because of the name we have for it this year.
Well, fellows, we'd like to thank you for stopping in and talking with us today. It surely sounds that like the U of A annual Winter Carnival is going to be a real bright spot on the campus this year.
and we wish both you and the Student Activities Department of the U of A best wishes with the annual Winter Carnival. We've been talking with Jim McMillan and Harvey Lyons, both students and both coordinators with the U of A annual Winter Carnival. This Is Your University is a recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting System. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. The University of Alaska basketball team, the Nanooks, left December 19th on a 15-day tour through Europe. During the tour, the team will play 9 games against some of the top teams in Europe through a program known as the People-to-People Sports Program. Where are they going? What are their objectives? Well, these are some of the questions we'll try to answer today on This Is Your University. Well, the whole town and the whole university is certainly talking about the Nanooks these days. And we have with us today two team members of the Nanooks, Mel Brown from Unicleet and Mike Taurianen from Kenai. Well, I'm certain that you fellows are really excited about the forthcoming trip now to Europe. Could you tell us just a little bit, Mike, about what the People-to-People program is?
Well, People-to-People Sports, the committee that is sponsoring our trip, is just one aspect of People-to-People program. They're sponsoring our trip. They're arranging all the ground commitments and arrangements in Europe. They provide for transportation in Europe, in the cities we're at, and housing and meals, and they set up the schedule for us. We provide our own transportation over there, and once we're over there, then they see that we get where we're supposed to be and make our schedule for us.
Is this a government-sponsored organization, the People-to-People?
No, it isn't. It's
It's a private group of individuals.
Yes,
who are just...
it's just to sponsor international relations, goodwill, through various sports, music, high school exchange programs, and so on.
How is it that the University of Alaska, the Nanooks, were asked or were picked for this program?
Well, it originated somewhat when Dr. Wood was in Scandinavia last year, and some of the people over there expressed an interest in having the University of Alaska come over and play some of their teams in some kind of athletic events, and the basketball team was the one picked for this, and people got behind it, Coach Kroll, the university, and it was pushed, and now it's finally become a reality.
Well, Mel, where are you going to play? Who are you going to play against in Europe?
As far as we know so far, we're going to play our first game the 21st of December at Brussels. We're playing against the National Olympic team there. I think it's a 3-game series. And after that, we're not exactly sure where we're going. But we know which countries we're going to be going to and which teams we're going to be playing against. One of the countries is Belgium, Netherlands, Denmark, and France. We play against 2 teams in France, we know so far, but we don't know the exact dates for these games. Mm-hmm.
Well, how is this European trip going to affect the rest of the Nanook season? Will you be touring down below? Will there be any more games once you come back to Alaska?
Yes, there will be games during semester break. We'll be playing 2 games right after our finals. Then we'll come back for about 4 days and make another trip down there for about 3 more games, 3 or 4 more games.
Well, this people-to-people program is certainly going to cost an awful lot of money. Just who is paying for it?
The transportation part of it, traveling from Alaska to Europe, is being financed by the community of Fairbanks and partially by the University of Alaska Associated Students. And there's a drive going on right now for this, for the expense of the transportation. And the rest of it is going to be taken care of by the People's to People's program.
Well, fellows, I'd like to thank you for stopping in and talking with us today. We've been talking with Mel Brown and Mike Talreinen, both team members of the Nanooks, and we're very certain that the Nanooks will do both the University of Alaska and the U.S. Very proud abroad. So we wish you best wishes on your trip to Europe. This is the last program in this series for 1966. Our next program will be broadcast during the week of January 8th. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. In July of 1965, the University of Alaska Library inaugurated a new archives program aimed at preserving papers and records dealing with the history of the state. Many of these valuable records were being rapidly destroyed either through fire or natural causes, or being simply thrown away by people unaware of their historical value. Since its inception, the archival program has grown rapidly, and archivist Paul McCarthy has initiated a vigorous program of collecting historic records and papers from throughout the state. The University of Alaska Archives Program. Our story today on This Is Your University. We have with us today Mr. Paul McCarthy, the university archivist. Mr. McCarthy, can you tell us a little bit about the archival program at the university?
Well, as you've already mentioned, the program was initiated to preserve written records and manuscripts on Alaska, both for all future Alaskans and for research use by students and scholars of Alaska history. Many of these older records and papers have been and are being destroyed or are being taken outside the state. Our program is aimed at collecting and preserving these records.
Well, what type of papers or records do you have, or what are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for papers which record the way of life as it was in early Alaska. Diaries, journals, business and organizational records, letters, field notes are all important.
Could you give us some examples of what you now have in the archives collection?
We have the collected papers of Major General C.S. Farnsworth, who was an Army commander in the interior Alaska during the late 1890s and early 1900s. We also have the papers of Judge Anthony Jane Diamond, former delegate to Congress, and the papers of Dan Sutherland, who was a delegate to Congress from 1921 through 31. We also have the records of the old Alaska Commercial Company and the personal records and field notes of both Otto Geist and Iris Garland, both former members of the university faculty.
Well, what do you do with the papers when you get them? Do you organize them or index them?
Yes, when we first get a collection, we examine it for content and then repair it or treat it if necessary. Then we organize the collection and index it. This index describes the types of papers a collection has and where they can be found.
You mentioned treating the papers. What sort of treatment are you referring to?
Most papers, especially the cheaper grades, have a certain amount of acid in them. As they get older, the acid starts to decompose the paper. We now combat the effects of the acid by storing the papers in acid-free file folders. The folders are then placed in special acid-free archival boxes which are designed to resist mildew. In the near future, we hope to start treating papers with a new deacidification chemical which was recently developed in England. These techniques will, we hope, assure maximum life for our collections.
What sort of arrangements do you have for people to use the archives?
The archives are open to any serious researcher or user. One restriction that we do have is that the material may not be removed from the archives. It is possible, however, in some cases, to get copies of documents in the collections.
Well, what if someone had some papers they thought you might be interested in? How would they make the necessary arrangements?
Well, they should write or call the archives at the university. If possible, they should describe the papers and tell us of their content. We will then make all the arrangements to have the papers brought to the university if these people are willing to place them here.
Thank you, Mr. McCarthy, for taking the time to come and talk with us today. We've been talking with Paul McCarthy, University of Alaska archivist, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service. From the University of Alaska at College, this is your university. What happens after college? What do you do if you decide not to go on for advanced degrees? What career fields are open to you? Where can you find a job? Finding a job and career selection is a problem that plagues all college students, regardless of whether they end their college work with a bachelor's degree or go on for advanced schooling. The University of Alaska Graduate Placement Bureau was created to help these students. How does it help them? What services does it provide? This is our story today on This Is Your University. Today we are talking with Mrs. Betty Harrop, head of the University of Alaska Alumni Services and Graduate Placement Bureau. Mrs. Harrop, could you tell us just what is the Graduate Placement Bureau here at the university?
The Graduate Placement Bureau is a service offered by the university to graduates and alumni. We assist them in finding a job and offer career counseling.
Well, just how do you help someone get a job?
The students file a set of credentials with our office. These credentials include a listing of all academic work, job experience, and letters of recommendation. When our office receives a job opening notice from a firm, we send the company a list of students who qualify, and if they request, a set of the students' credentials. We also send credentials to any prospective employer at the student's request. This service, I might add, is offered free for 1 year after the student files his credentials, if he does so before graduation. After that, the student must pay $5 each year of active service.
I remember reading that you had made arrangements for one firm to interview interested students on campus. Does this happen very often?
Yes, quite a few firms send recruiters to visit the campus every year. This year, we've already had representatives from Texaco, Pan American Petroleum, Union Oil, Mobil Oil, Burroughs, and IBM. We are expecting several more interviewers this year.
Well, what happens if a student wants to find a job outside of the state? Can you help him there?
Yes, we can. We belong to the College Placement Council, which has a reciprocal agreement between all its members. Any member university will assist students of any other member university who is job hunting in their area. The council also has what is known as the grad system, in which alumni resumes are stored in a computer where they are readily available to prospective employers. This gives business firms the ability to rapidly screen a large number of resumes to find prospective employees. The grad system is available to all alumni and graduates of the university.
Well, suppose an alumni is looking for a new job and wants to place his credentials in the grad computer. Just how does he go about it?
He should contact me, and I will send him a resume form to fill out, and then I will forward it to the grad headquarters. His resume will then be placed in the computer for 6 months.
Well, just How successful do you feel this graduate placement program is?
It is a very successful program. And I could say that most students are helped not only by sending out their credentials, but also actually getting a job. The only thing that I would say hampers them from getting a job is their lack of qualifications.
Well, Mrs. Harrop, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to talk with us today. We've been talking with Mrs. Betty Harrop, head of the Alumni Services and Graduate Placement Bureau at the University of Alaska, on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly recorded program aired by this station as a public service. It was produced by the University Relations Office of the University of Alaska in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your announcer has been Paul Quist. This is the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.